This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Manuel Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled, Spring is Coming.
I love spring. I don't know about you, but I'm ready for it. Are you ready for spring? Now, it really wasn't that bad a winter, but there was something about the winter that just is making me, and maybe you, really look forward to next Sunday. Next Sunday is spring, and spring is coming. One way or another, it's on the way. That's not just a fact of weather science. The fact that spring is coming and will be here at an appointed time is not just a matter of science. It's also a matter of God's promise being kept to us. You see, God has made a promise to us about the weather and about the seasons and about the times in which we live. Genesis 8:22 says this, while the earth remains, seed time, that's spring, and harvest, that's fall, and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. The seasons and the cycles and the weather and the cycles of the weather and the different degrees of the weather are in God's control, and He's promised to keep it going. The seasons are in fact a proofed text of the evidence of God's care and control over His creation. Now listen to Acts 14 and verse 17. Nevertheless, He, that's God, left not Himself without a witness, in that He did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. God is the one who has given us the seasons. It's God from whom the weather is under control. God's got control over the climate. In our arrogance, somehow or another, we think that we are in control of the planet and we are in control of the climate. Let me read something to you from The Economist magazine, which is a magazine out of England, and it's more or less a very socially oriented magazine. This is December 19th, 2015, just a few weeks ago. And it reads like this, 195 countries gathered in Paris in the first 2 weeks of December 2015. They signed a climate change agreement, listen, declaring that the world's temperature will not climb much more than 1.5 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels. And the article goes on to say, and yet that new celebrated agreement got nowhere near close to preventing such a rise. We really can't control the temperature. We can't control the weather. If in our arrogance we think we can control the weather, and if these 195 countries think they can control the weather, I've got a foolproof test that will let us know that they can or they can't. And here's my test and my challenge to them. This should be easy. If you think you control the worldwide temperature, then you should be able to make it rain. What do you think? I mean, we had a drought going on over in California. If we really think we can control the weather, why don't we just make it rain over California? So that's my challenge to them. If you think that you're in control, let it rain or stop it from raining. Or how about controlling that blizzard we just had? That would have been a nice one for all of us. The seasons are affected by the Earth's orbit relative to the sun and the pull of gravity from the moon and the other planets. The tides, the temperature, sunrise, sunset are all time sensitive, and they have an overarching principle of order. In all that we see in nature, you need to recognize that there is absolutely an order to it all. It's not chaos. It's order. The universe is like a finely tuned instrument. It is mathematically precise. Ask any astronaut. They have to enter orbit, space orbit, at a particular window, at a particular moment in time. There is in the universe a sense of orderliness. When we see the wonders of the 21st century technology, I get the biggest kick in the world sometimes when I realize I'm driving along at the speed limit. I had to say that because I'm a pastor. As we're driving along at the speed limit and or whatever, and the cell phone rings, you can answer, of course you can't touch it, but you can answer the phone somehow and still be legal. But think about it, you're going along in your car and somebody's calling you from another state and you're talking to them on a cell phone. That is absolutely amazing and wondrous technology. Think of all the things your iPad could do. Think of all the things the GPS and the miracle drugs and the medical equipment. That's for James, I just thought I'd throw that out. We seek, when we see all these miraculous technologies that are out there, what we naturally want to do is find out who invented that? Apple, Steve Jobs. When we see these marvelous things, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there was an inventor, there was a designer, or there was a design team that created all that amazing stuff. You may or may not remember this story, but when the first Apple computers came out on the marketplace, the whole group of design engineers and all the people who worked on that had their names engraved inside the console of the first Apple computers. Why? Because they wanted to memorialize the names of the people who did all that work. There were people behind the machine. In the same way, order, precision, and balance contribute to the proposition that there was a master designer behind the wonder of creation. Listen to the definition of the word order. It is a condition of methodical or prescribed arrangements among component parts such that proper functioning or appearance is achieved. And what that means, in other words, is that your car is a finely tuned mechanical instrument. It's been put together according to a design. All the wiring had wiring schematics behind it. All the mechanics were looked over by an engineer. So that when you get in that car, and hopefully you turn the key in the morning or push the button, it starts and off you go. Think of the engineering marvel that is all by itself, not to mention all the other things that we talk about. Order is consistent. The idea that there is order in the universe is consistent with the very nature of God. Paul puts it this way in the negative. Listen to how he says that. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14:33, "For God is not the author of confusion." See, God is not about chaos. God is about order. We can see it in nature. We can see it in the design of nature. Look at yourself in the morning if you can stand it. And realize that what is staring you back in that mirror is an absolute miracle. Listen to the sound of a baby crying and recognize that birth is a miracle. Even Darwin could not understand how the eye came about according to his own theory. It's too marvelous a piece of equipment. The heart, the lungs, all of this working together in a fashion that just screams there's order to the universe. There's order to my body. There's order to the planet. It's consistent with who God is. The God of the Bible is not the author of confusion. He's the God of order. And this morning I want to demonstrate some of that to you with some of these factoids. First of all, let's begin with the physical creation. Now, how many of you know the name of Sir Isaac Newton? Let me see your hands. High school students too? They're still talking about him? It's great. He lived from 1642 to 1727. He was the father of calculus, the father of dynamics, as well as other branches of science. He was a scientific genius. He formulated the theory of gravitation and the laws of motion. You know, he's the one that lets you know about why the apple drops. Here's what he wrote. Now listen, I don't think you're getting this in your science class, but listen, quote, Newton, Isaac Newton, quote, "When I look at the solar system, I see the Earth at the right distance from the sun to receive the proper amounts of heat and light. This did not happen by chance." It didn't happen by chance, says one of the greatest scientists who ever lived. And there are many today who are great scientists who echo the same. The list of scientists who have come to a place where they believe in God is long, but you just never hear about it. King Solomon was inspired by God to write in the book of Ecclesiastes about the order assigned to wind, sun, and water. Ecclesiastes 1:5 reads, "The sun also rises, and the sun goes down, and then it goes to the place where it arose. Here on earth, the sun appears to have prescribed and set routine." We know that if we get up at a certain time in the morning, the sun will be rising in the east. It'll be appearing to rise in the east and appearing to set in the west. It comes over the eastern horizon, settles in the western horizons, and this is repeated with regularity and precision day after day, just as God wrote in the Bible over 3,000 years ago. Ecclesiastes 1, 6 and 7 says this, "The wind goes toward the south and turns about onto the north. It whirls about continually, and the wind returns again according to his circuits." Verse 7, "All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Onto the place where the rivers came together, they return again." So the Bible reveals this. The Bible reveals that the winds and the waters have set courses on the planet. Listen to that. That the winds and the oceans, they have a set course here on the planet. Those words were written over 3,000 years ago. At that time, weather was not a science. It was just a matter of fact. No, there were no weather balloons. There were no weather satellites. There was no weather channel. Wouldn't you have been lost back then? No weather channel? Is it raining? Open the window. Find out for yourself. No weather channel, no billion-dollar weather computers, no weatherman, no climatologist. 3,000 years ago, the wisest people at that time had no idea that the winds and the oceans had regular courses or regular circuits. They weren't running according to a plan and according to a planet. In other words, no one knew then what we know today because of our technology. No one knew then that there was something called the Gulf Stream. No one knew then about the jet stream. And no one knew anything about El Nino, the baby boy, named after Jesus, because those winds occur sometime around Christmas. Imagine that. The only being who knew this stuff 3,000 years ago was the one who ordered the wind and ordered the oceans to run in their place. It was the God of the Bible, the God of order, the master of the wind and the waves. And the Bible also reveals something else that God gave us a hint to, something called the water cycle. Now listen to these verses. Job 36, 27 and 28. "For he makes small the drops of water that pour down rain according to the vapor thereof, which the clouds do drop and distill upon man abundantly." So these verses show four things that I want to share with you. First of all, number one, you may remember what it said, that the water falls as rain from the clouds. We call that in another language precipitation. Secondly, it says it forms into little droplets. We call that in a scientific language condensation. And third, it says it becomes a vapor. In scientific language, we call that evaporation. And then it goes back up into the clouds and the process begins all over again. God defined and God laid out that process 3,000 years ago. How did anybody know about that? Because God told them. He gave them that much information. Science calls the process I just laid out to you the hydrological process, the cycle. The study is called hydrology. And it's one more example of God's order in nature. When we hear these things and when we open our eyes to all that's around us in the natural world, we can see that in the big picture, God is in control of the mechanics of this planet. He planted humanity and all living things on a certain planet, unique in the entire universe. God planted us here, and God designed this planet and created this the earth for one purpose. Can you guess what that purpose was? The purpose was to support life. As far as we know, certainly in our solar system, and as far as we've been able to reach out into the universe, there is but one planet in all our investigations thus far that is supporting life, and that's this little blue marble down here in this corner of the universe. But listen to what God said 3,000 years ago. Isaiah 45:18. For thus says the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He has established it. He has created it, not in vain, not without a purpose. What is that purpose? It goes on to say, he formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord. There is none else. God specifically made this planet to be inhabited by you, by me, by all living creatures on land and in the air and in the sea. It was purposed into creation. It's not an accident. You're not an accident. We can see God's care for the planet in just these few things that I've shared with you this morning. We can see that God has purpose and God has control over the life of this planet, over which we have zero control. So here's the question. Does God's care and control of the universe and the planet come down to you and me? In other words, is the God who is in the big picture caring for the universe and all that big stuff out there, does he even care about you when you are the most infinitesimal, smallest living object that he created by hand? Well, listen to Psalm 8:3-4. David writes this, when I consider the heavens, the works of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, set in order. Verse 4, what is man? What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? So now this is David, who would one day be a king, but right now he's a shepherd. And what do shepherds do? They take care of a flock of sheep. And by definition, they're outside all the time. Some of you love being in the outdoors. Apparently, David loved being in the outdoors. He was there day and night. And once he finally got his sheep bedded down for the night, David became a stargazer. He became a dreamer. He would lay back on the grass or lay back on a rock top, and he'd look up at the stars. And his imagination would just run wild. And when he looked at that canopy of light, when he looked at the blackness of the sky, and he saw the beauty of the moon, and he saw all these wondrous things, something mystical, something wonderful happened to him. He not only saw the beauty over his head, he recognized the maker behind that beauty. He recognized the artist that had painted it in place. He recognized the might and the power of the one who suspended all of those things in space. He looked and said, how great is our God. When the atheist, when the agnostic, when most people look up into the heavens, you know what they say? Well, take a look at that. Boy, isn't that Pluto? Isn't that Mars? Isn't that Venus? Isn't that the moon? Isn't that the stars? Period. Those folks who don't believe in Creator God can only see what's over their head to the limit of their finite minds. They can't possibly grasp that there was somebody behind it, that there was a great mind behind it, that there was a great mathematician behind it, that there was a great engineer behind it, that there was a great designer behind it, that there was somebody with the greatest brain, the greatest mind, the greatest force in the entire universe behind it all. Creator God, the God of order, the God who cares for his planet, who cares for his universe, who cares for the work of his hand, and he cares for you. And as David contemplates the majesty of creation in the universe, he's amazed to think that Creator God would even bother with such insignificant creatures as we mortals. The Apostle Peter writes, God cares for you. He said, God cares for you in your joy and in your tears. He says that God cares for you in your successes and in your failures. That God cares for you in your moments of hope and in your moments of despair. In other words, His love and His care is unconditional. If you feel great today, thank God you feel great today. He's with you. And if you feel down today, God's with you. 1 Peter 5:7, Peter writes these words, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Did you come this morning with a burden of care? Did you come this morning with a heavy heart? Did you come this morning just thinking that you're all alone in whatever it is that you're wrestling with and nobody understands? Well, Gene played it. No one understands like Jesus. He's a friend beyond compare. No one is so near, so dear as Jesus. Cast your every care on Him. There's a story of extreme desperation. It reveals and demonstrates that God cares. And I told you earlier about the writer William Cooper, C-O-W-P-E-R. He wrote a hymn entitled, God Moves in Mysterious Ways. And this followed a period in his life where he almost was suicidal in his depression. Think of that. Suicidal in his depression. And yet something beautiful came to him. He called for a carriage and he ordered the driver to take him to the Ouse River, 3 miles away, where he planned to kill himself. He planned to jump off the bridge and drown in the river. The driver, sensing the state of mind of his passenger, breathed a prayer of thanks. When a thick fog enveloped the area, he purposely lost his way in the fog. Jogging up one road and down another as Cooper fell into a deep sleep, hours passed. Finally, the driver pulled up to Cooper's house. We're back home, said Cooper. How did that happen? Well, ma'am, I got lost in the fog. Sorry. Cooper paid his fare, went inside and wondered how God, in His mercy and care, had spared him from killing himself. That same evening in 1774, as he celebrated his 43rd birthday, Cooper penned these words. God moves in a mysterious way, His wonders to perform. He plants His footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. You fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds you so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessing on your head. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust Him for His grace. Behind a frowning providence, He hides a smiling face. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. In other words, hang on. In other words, don't give up. In other words, don't quit. It may be tough now. It may be bitter now. It may be distressing and depressing now. But you and God are going to get through this thing together. In life, where people seldom are what they seem to be, God knows that there are times when we wear a mask of confidence, we put on a cloak of certainty, we express a look of happiness, but underneath, we're a bundle of confusion, uncertainty, fear, despair. It's in those times that we must reach out with a hand of faith, believing in God's care, no matter what, that this will work out according to God's will and according to God's plan. Romans 8:28, you know it. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. It's going to work out. Don't quit. Don't throw in the towel. Don't let despair and distress tie you down. in the dark times, the trying times, the fearful times, the uncertain times, and the troubling times, we must remember that there is an unseen controlling hand of God behind the fog of our circumstance. He's there. When clouds obscure the sun, like this morning, don't you know that the sun is still there, hiding behind those clouds? When the sun sets in the west and darkness prevails, we know beyond the sunset and beyond the shadow of doubt, dawn is just over the eastern horizon. Why? Because God made a promise. The sun will rise again. Just as we can see here in March 2016 that the frost of winter is dissolving into the warm breath of spring, just as surely as God is orchestrating the natural world, He holds you in the palm of His great hand to hold you up and never, ever, ever let you down. So spring and hope are just around the corner. Rejoice and praise the Lord. Amen and amen. Let's pray. You are the God who never lets us go. Sometimes it feels like we're falling through the air and there's no net. But that's the lie of the devil. That's the way in which he tries to bring stress. That's the way he oppresses us, by bringing us these doubts and these fears that appeal to our lower nature, that appeal to our nature of fear and distress, that take out of us the joy of our salvation and would have us clinging to anything but you. But Father, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we are in your hand, and you'll never drop us. You'll never let us go. We'll never fall to our death. We're safe, we're secure in the palm of your hand. So I pray your blessing upon this family this morning, that if those came this morning with an issue, those came this morning with pain and hurt, with emotional problems, I pray, Lord, that you have spoken to them in a special way. And I pray it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.